Mount Eccles itself is a national park. It's been a national park since 1969. It was prior to that, it was actually a public services reserve, and there was a lot of sort of additional recreation, and also things like sort of scoria extraction and quarries and those sorts of things here as well. So at the time that it became a national park itself, those sort of activities ceased, and it became a place really set aside for the wildlife, the environment, and for people to come and enjoy.
Now, when you first drive in here, then you're met with a really nice little sort of, well, not little, it's big sort of picnic area, and from there you set off on a couple of walks. So where do you go? What can you see here?
Yeah, okay. Well, the picnic area itself is lovely. There's a lot of, we've actually just recently put in quite a few new facilities there, barbecues and barbecue shelters and things like that. And there's a number of sort of easy short walks right from the visitor information centre there. You can head down around the Lake Surprise Walk. You can also do the Crater Rim Walk, which is a similar walk, but it's actually up above Lake Surprise around the crater's edge. And both of those sort of access a few different places that you can have a look at. And then longer walks include, there's a sort of a 2.5 hour walk down to the, through the lava canal, down to the natural bridge, which is a very interesting geological feature.
So what actually is Mount Eccles then? It's from the way you're talking there, obviously it's a volcano, but is it one volcano? Is it lots? Or what sort of a formation is it?
Yeah, it is a volcanic formation. It's interesting, the Mount Eccles complex itself actually has 7 volcanic vents. And there's some discussion as to whether there's one sort of giant magma chamber underneath with 7 outlets, or whether there's a number of smaller magma chambers, each which feeds maybe 1 or 2 or 3 of the vents. We're not really 100% sure as to the answer to that. So as a result, we actually don't know the formation type of the volcano either.
What would you have to do to discover that? Something that no one's prepared to do, obviously.
Yeah, look, it's I guess it's a lot of conjecture at the moment. We're really lucky in that we've had some, a fantastic geologist who's worked with us and done an enormous amount of study on the park, you know, or the geological nature of the park, and he's been fantastic in his information that he's provided. And ultimately, you know, the chambers underneath that feed the vents, all of those vents are actually blocked up now, and the lava has solidified, cooled and solidified. So there's not really any way to check, you know, short of drilling through those, and I don't imagine that's ever going to happen.
So are they all in a row then, or are they, how are they sort of arranged?
Yeah, there is, there's actually a long line, and the 7 volcanic vents are right along that line. So it's, it might suggest a fault line of some sort, or, once again, there's a series of magma chambers under the ground, all in a line for whatever reason.
Yeah, we've just come for a short walk then up to the lake Surprise Lookout, which is a surprise.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, it's look, it's a gorgeous little lake. I guess it's really interesting when you come to the area. There's a, you know, sort of a bit of a hill and a few rises and things around, but it's you know, just lovely farming area around here, and then you wander up, park at the picnic ground, or you can actually drive up to the lookout and hop out, and all of a sudden you're looking down into a crater with a gorgeous little lake at the bottom. So yeah, it's a lovely spot.
For people who come here, can you do anything on the lake? Are you allowed to bring a kayak, say, and go for a paddle on there, or anything like that?
Yeah, look, you are allowed to. There's certainly no restrictions against doing so. The issue is, of course, access to the lake. And if you're willing to carry a kayak or a canoe sort of about 400-odd metres down a fairly steep track and then out again afterwards, then, yeah, look, you're welcome.
So from here then, where can we go from here?
Okay, well, it's just from this point, there's a really short walk down a little staircase, and then we're going to go and I'll take you into the lava tunnel.
We've taken a short walk into a cave, which is fantastic.
Yeah, that's right. This is the lava tunnel, or tunnel cave as it's known. And I guess if we look at a little bit of the geological history of Mount Eccles, it was first believed to have erupted about 33,000 years ago, but then it's had a period of both sort of being active and then lying dormant. So there might have been, you know, even thousands of years where there was no activity at all, and then it might have been quite active again for another, year or 100 years or who knows, on and off, on and off, until the most recent eruptions, which were believed to be about 6,000 or 7,000 years ago now. So because of that, there's a whole lot of geological formations, if you like, that have actually been built up over time. And this is one of them. The lava tunnel itself, if you look back towards the opening, we've actually walked in through the roof or through the ceiling of the lava tunnel. So when the volcano was active originally, there would have been a lava flow. A lava flow has flowed out through here. So you can imagine a tongue of, you know, red hot magma oozing its way sort of over the landscape. And then a skin has formed, you know, that bit of the lava that's sort of on the outside and exposed to the elements and things like that, that's cooled and it's solidified. Mm. And in doing so, it's actually sort of created this tunnel shape, but it's also insulated the lava that's inside. So the lava inside has continued to flow through that pipe or that tube. And what we have here is the results of that. And then if you look towards the edges of the tunnel itself, you can actually see lines in the walls where there were subsequent lava flows, and that sort of splashed up along the edges and things like that. So there would have been lava flows, you know, from more recent eruptions after the time that this tunnel was originally formed, where the lava's been at a lower level and it's sort of splashed up on the walls a bit, cooled and solidified, and you've ended up with these kind of sort of rounded, oozing shapes along the edges of the tunnel.
It's quite magnificent. It's quite huge as well, isn't it? It's just, I don't know how tall it would be, but it's a big space, isn't it?
Yeah, that's right. You can really imagine the sort of formation that, you know, I mean, the sort of process that would have occurred while this was forming. So, yeah, big tongue of lava flowing out through this area, yeah.
It sort of heads off around the corner. How far does it go?
Yeah, look, it probably only travels in. I think the entire length right from the entrance is about 70 metres. But as the tunnel is flowing downhill effectively, but the most recent lava flows have sort of stayed at that ground level, if you like, and so it's actually ended up blocking off the tunnel. Mm. So as you walk further into the tunnel, you're walking on a level platform, but the roof is getting closer and closer and closer. So, you get to a point actually right at the end. There's an area there called ropey lava, which is kind of like froth. If you'd imagine lava flowing into a tunnel where there wasn't any air above it anymore, and so there was a bit of bubbles coming back and things like that. So we've ended up with this formation, which is known as ropey lava.
Now, it's constantly dripping as well. I presume it's like this all the time, is it?
There's a lot of groundwater around at the moment. It doesn't drip all the time. When it's, in the middle of summer and it's quite dry and things like that, it certainly doesn't drip. But it does stay at a constant temperature. So it's the most lovely place to be when it's 48 degrees outside. And you can come in here and it'll be just a perfect 18 degrees all year round. You know, it's lovely.
What about bats and stuff like that? Do they live in here?
Not in this cave. There's certainly a number of bat species at Mount Eccles, but in the cave here, I guess primarily because of the amount of visitation it gets there, yeah, there's no bats living in here anymore.
Now, one of the other things to note about Mount Eccles is the fantastic fauna and some beautiful trees here.
Yeah, that's right. Mount Eccles is actually one of the largest remaining Manugum woodlands, or stands of Manugum, in Victoria, and as a result, Manugums are the number one preferred feed tree of koalas. So as a result, we've got plenty of koalas here. So it's a rare day that you come out and you don't see some koalas.
Haven't seen any today, so they're obviously not performing. Now, just we should talk a little bit about the management of the place as well, because that's changed recently, hasn't it?
Yeah, that's right. With the native title determination over the area, the Windamara people the Gunditjmara people through Gunditjmiring as the registered Aboriginal party. They actually have joint management responsibilities here for Mount Eccles now. So we have a fantastic relationship with those guys and work really hard to improve the park. Yeah.
And what does that mean in terms of what might happen here in the future, I suppose, or when people are coming to visit, what they might see in terms of interpretive science, perhaps, or that sort of thing?
Yeah, I think probably the biggest change will be things like, maybe a change of focus of that interpretive signage, as you mentioned. We're certainly looking at putting in some more signage that really looks at the cultural stories to be told here. But equally, you know, from a management point of view, you know, we do work really closely with Goodnich Meering and you know, I mean, the park's certainly improving as a result. The barbecue shelters and things that we mentioned earlier, that's all part of the sort of suggestions that have come forward through the Budgerbyn Council, which is the group, if you like, that we co-manage with.
Now, we've only done a couple of very short little walks today, but if you want to, you could come and do a pretty serious long walk here, couldn't you?
Yeah, absolutely. Look, there's plenty of opportunities for walks and bike riding as well. There's the Budgerbyn Trail is a mountain bike track that's actually been put together, and you can do the whole thing in one day or you can do it in 3 days. There's actually campsites along the way, camping at Alambie and Murphy's Hut and then down at Lake Gorrie, which are all areas actually outside of Mount Eccles National Park, but they're all on the culturally managed land. So, great opportunities to do all sorts of things like that. So, certainly recommend the Budgerbyn Trail if you're into mountain biking. It's a good one.
So if you come to the Visitor Information Centre, even though there might not be somebody here, can you still pick up information about walks and what to do here?
Yeah, absolutely. There's a number of brochure racks at the front of the Information Centre. So, even if there's no one here, there's certainly information there to tell you the sorts of things you can do or where you can go. The other opportunities, of course, if you look on the Parks Victoria website, all of that information is downloadable for free from there as well.